Okay. I know parting with loved ones is natural cause of life, but deep sadness and grief arises when I reflect on that. Could you instruct on how to work with this grief? Is there a level of understanding when there is no grief? A lot of it is just being willing to contemplate it. It's like the Buddha has us, like there's one of the chants that we do, and that's to be, I mean, it's called Abhinna Pachawekana, so it's like to be reflected on frequently and you know, as much as one can, that's the five reflections. I have the nature to, I'm of the nature to age. I've not gone beyond aging. I have the nature to sicken. I've not gone beyond sickness. I'm of the nature to die. I've not gone beyond dying. All that is mine, beloved and pleasing, will become otherwise, will become separated from me. And then I'm the owner of my karma, heir to my karma, born of my karma, related to my karma, abide, supported by my karma. All that is mine. We reap the fruits of our karma, so that the that reflection, it's like reminding ourselves, because it is something that goes against the grain. It goes against our wishes, our desires, our hopes, but it's like standing outside and, you know, wishing that the sun wouldn't set. You just want to have daytime all the time. It ain't going to happen. So that similarly with the separation from the loved is it's inevitable, and that's not trying to rub your nose in it to make you miserable, but it's entertaining the realities of what we have to live with, and that we, that is impossible to escape, so that when we're able to allow that, but that reflecting on it, then there, we experience a sadness and grief because we don't want it to be that way. But then because of that experience, then on a rational level, we can sort of say, well, we can start to figure that out. On a rational basis, everybody, everything has to die. Everybody, everything has to be separated from what they love. But it takes a while, and oftentimes a long while, for the heart to really accept that, so that to be willing to contemplate that, because what that does is then give us a kind of a stability and strength that allows us to deal skillfully and kindly with the realities of our existence. Rather than being reactive through fear or aversion, so that there's a much more positive response, and You know, there certainly is a level of understanding where there, you know, there is no grief. You know, I think of the you know, the stories of the Buddha encouraging. I brought one up the other day of when Ananda was experiencing the separation from Sariputta. When Sariputta passed away, the Buddha encouraging him. But, you know, I don't think that means that the Buddha didn't ever feel anything. Because in the same way, at that same sort of time period, it was probably within a year, both Sariputta and Mahamoggallana passed away. And the Buddha was, it was toward the end of the Buddha's life. He'd have been probably in his late 70s. He passed away when he was 80. He was in his late 70s probably. There's a discourse where the Buddha is sitting with the Sangha and he just makes a mention of you know, now that Sariputta and Mahamoggallana passed away, it seems that the assembly is kind of empty. And then the Buddha goes on to instruct, and so, you know, he's not overwhelmed by grief, but it's sort of like, you know, it's not unfeeling, it's not uncognizant of the reality of the Sangha missing two of its greatest elders. Walking at in the nun section at Wat Bopong, Ajahn Chah's monastery, with Ajahn Chah. And it was either shortly after, sometime after his mother passed away, or after the funeral ceremony, because his Ajahn Chah's mother was the head nun of Wat Bopong as well, so it was a family business. And we were walking with another monk and the parents of that monk, and he was saying, "Yeah, it feels very different walking in the nun section with my mother not here." He said, "Yeah. You know, now I'm an orphan." Yes, it was. It's not unfeeling, uncognizant, but it was also held skillfully.